away this Ethiopian opal ring. We appreciate them doing that, working with us, and we encourage you to check out their Facebook page, like their page, and like our page while you're at it and everything, of course. And a big thank you to, as always, to Terry Johns for putting up with me and all she does for our community. Appreciate you, Terry. Thanks for hanging out with us.
You bet.
Have a good week. We'll get out of the way right now. We'll come back with Morning Magazine here at, oh, you know what? I like the way she says this better. Go ahead, Katrina.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. A white supremacist is in court in Buffalo, New York, waiting to be sentenced to life in prison for killing 10 people at a top supermarket in a mostly black neighborhood. First, Peyton Gendron hears from family members of some of the victims. Mark Talley's mother, Geraldine, was among them. He's chosen not to speak at this morning's hearing.
We have an 18-year-old white man who's being looked at as he's a 12-year-old, you know, little scared child.
The gunman, who's 19 now, wore bulletproof armor and a helmet with a live streaming camera when he opened fire with a semi-automatic rifle last May. There's a new racial controversy in the Deep South. CBS's Jim Crisula has the details.
80% of the white residents in Mississippi's majority black capital city of Jackson would be included in a proposed new judicial district with hand-picked prosecutors and judges. Critics say that would lead to further allegations of deliberate racial prejudice in a Republican-backed legislative proposal.
Investigators still trying to pin down a motive in Monday's shooting that killed three students at Michigan State University. The suspect shot himself to death. Correspondent Roxana Sabiri is in East Lansing.
According to law enforcement, the gunman had no ties to MSU, but he did have a criminal record and was sentenced to a year of probation in 2019 for illegally carrying a concealed weapon without a proper permit.
A vigil will be held for the victim on campus today. The Chinese spy balloon taken out by U.S. fighter jets off South Carolina shouldn't have come as any surprise. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
U.S. intelligence had actually been tracking the balloon when it took off from Hainan Island off of the South China coast last month. At that point, it then started drifting towards Guam and Hawaii before making a northward turn up to Alaska.
Experts believe those three mystery objects shot down over the weekend were harmless research balloons. Retail sales are on the rebound. After dropping over the holidays, they jumped 3% in January, despite the Fed's efforts to tamp down inflation. Leading the way, spending at furniture and clothing stores, restaurants, and at car dealerships. It's the biggest jump in sales since March of 2021. The White House says Tesla will open parts of its supercharger network to other EVs. WWJ's Jeff Gilbert.
That vast network had been a competitive advantage for Tesla. Tesla gives it up for unspecified government funding. Still to be worked out is how vehicles with different charging connections will hook up to Tesla's system.
Hundreds of thousands of Chiefs fans are ready to paint the town red today. A parade for this year's Super Bowl champions is set to roll down Kansas City's Grand Boulevard at noon. Most schools are closed for the day. The Dow is down 181 points, S&P off 26. This is CBS News.
This week, Staples has deals so good, you're going to want to sit down. Are you sitting? I'll wait. Great. Right now during Staples Sit-a-thon, select chairs are up to 50% off, like the Union and Scale Essentials Mesh Back Task Chair. Now just $89.99 at Staples. You save $90. Plus get 2 2-ounce bottles of Purell hand sanitizer free with the Staples Connect app. So take a seat or two right now at Staples, the working, learning, and saving store. Ends 2/18. In-store only. Purell limit 2 while supplies last.
God, I'm so stressed. It's a brand new year and our business is busier than ever.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Ooma. Smart communications for the smarter business.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net, it scores!
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
Farming is dangerous. There's dangers all around us.
We go through safety training and try and do these things to make sure accidents don't happen.
You don't want to hit a gas pipe because that's your life. The other part of it is if you hit certain things, you're liable for it.
FarmSafe 811 starts with you. Always call 811 and wait for any underground lines to be marked.
Always keep safety in the back of your mind. Just stay humble.
For more information, go to farmsafe811.org.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 40. Winds out of the northwest, 15 to 20 miles per hour. Lows around 21. Tonight, cloudy. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 25. Sunny skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Good morning. You're listening to Central Wisconsin's 24-hour information station, WFHR. It's time now for the Morning Magazine.
Welcome, everyone, to Morning Magazine for this February 15th, 2023, 10:06 on the clock, and you have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 10:30, we're going to welcome in our good friend, Phil Brown, from the Southwood County Historical Corporation. Looking forward to talking with Phil about some of the exhibits they have over there and some of the other great things at the museum. Right now, in with us, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, James.
Good to have you with us. Good to see you, sir.
Thank you. You too.
I want to say a big shout-out to our friends Taylor and everybody at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Good to see you guys. Encourage you to follow along on their page at YouTube. Type into your search bar on YouTube, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Follow along with all the great work that they're doing over there. How you been, sir?
Been good. Keeping busy.
Yeah, I imagine. It is a busy time, to any time the beginning of the year, even in the February here. I got a couple of things that I wanted to talk with you about, and I wanted to leave some time open if you wanted to touch on anything.
Okay.
But let's get into some of the committees that have been going on, some of the meetings, and any headlines from any of those. We had the feasibility study report on rail traffic recently. What were the results from that? What did we find from that?
So we posted on our website.
Yeah.
So it's out there. I encourage everybody to read it. It's 79 pages. and it's a lot of technical detail, a lot of information. But they brought forth a number of recommendations, from a small cost to creating an overpass or an underpass, running maybe $33 million. So there's everything in between.
Yeah.
I think there's some things that can be done. And I think there's some discussions that need to be had with the state. And so eventually Expressway is going to be redone, has to be redone. And I think it's at that point is time then we need to start looking at maybe some other long-term alternatives, such as underpass or overpass.
I remember when I was living out in California, and I get out there, and you know, the ocean was great, the mountains were great, and all this, and I'm enjoying, and I'm like, man, it is really beautiful out here. This seems like there's so much. Oh, wait a minute, why am I stopped? I'm waiting on something. What is this? It's a train. I'm waiting on a train. The same thing that I dealt with as a kid in Chicago or a kid here in Rapids, dealing with out in California. And talking to some locals in the Santa Barbara area about it and everything. And the first thing they mention is, yeah, that's one of our major money resources. Mm-hmm. Santa Barbara is one of the richest cities in America. And even they are beholden to the train system and everything. I think that all that is great. The study was really good. I read some of the highlights from it and everything. And I really think more than anything else, it's great that the study took place. I think that shows a lot right there. I also think, and I don't mean this in a mean or cruel way. I apologize if my tact is not the greatest. My mother would be mad at me. But I also think there's a part of this where don't we kind of have to learn to live with certain things and have some patience and some understanding? If you're a Rapids resident, if you've been here for more than a couple of years, you know how this works. You leave a little earlier for work or a little later, whatever it might be, and you know your ways around the trains to get around. If these trains were just there for, like, because they were fun to look at, then I could say, okay, well, we have a complaint here. We have something to say. But there's not a lot of resources for rural communities. Everybody out there is asking, hey, Mayor, when are we getting new jobs in town? Hey, Mayor, when are we bringing this business in? Here we got a business that's bringing in money, and we're complaining. And I get why we're complaining, and I'll be one of the people that complains too, but I also have some perspective on this.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's very important to our economy, and it's a very common question we have when businesses are looking at our communities, what's our rail access? So, and just the cost effectiveness of rail transportation of goods. So, yeah, rail is very important to Rapids, but, you know, if we can come up with ways to, you know, maybe live a little bit better with our rail, such as, you know, underpass, overpass, you know, even in there it talks about, you know, predicting that can't remember the full terminology for it, but predicting for, you know, when a train's going to come. If you know 6-8 minutes ahead of time that a train's going to be at a crossing coming in our community, then maybe, especially us local people, we know to take a different way. But yeah, I think there's in quiet zones. You know, the other big issue is the quiet zones and creating quiet zones, and that's talked about in there. So I think there's some things that can be addressed on a short term and hopefully kind of get us to a bridge to maybe a longer term solution.
There's a million apps nowadays. I'm surprised there's not an app to tell you when the train's coming, or hey, the train's actually stalled right now, and it could tell you on your phone and update you or something.
That's what it would be. It'd be kind of a predictive app where, you know, based on signage or apps type of things that, you know, you set up sensors at different rails and you can kind of figure that out, or, you know, they can engineer that.
I've actually looked into it, and Pam and I have reached out to the rail companies and wanted to talk to them before and have them on the air. Not to put them to their feet to the fire. I think that we would be able to answer a lot of questions going right to the source. We have not had any luck with that, of course. But one of the things that I think that would be beneficial, everything I said before about us as a community being understanding with this stuff, I think the rail companies could go quite a ways with actually reaching out to communities, too, and being like, hey, we're working, we're doing the best we can, we want to work with you, instead of the kind of mentality of, this is what we do, you're lucky to have us. Like, that doesn't really go over well with people either. And PR-wise, it's not going to help your industry at all.
Yeah, I think that's a national phenomenon that we all deal with, is the rail is very big, it's outside of the federal government also, you know. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, with my friends in the rail, you know, the problem is, and I apologize to them, I don't think they care most of the time.
Right,
it's
yeah.
Like, this is what we're going to do, and this is what it's going to be. You know, it's a good position to be in, I guess, for them.
Sure.
But it's really kind of choking our community. And
well, and if we've seen anything with the industries that when you and I were kids, did we ever think the paper industry would fail? Like the newspaper industry would be down? I never would have dreamed of that. Chickens come home to roost. And I'm not wishing that on that industry or any industry. But I do believe in karma. I do believe that you get in what you put into things. And that can't end well, even if it is the industry surviving. Communities are going to push back. These studies, we're not the only community doing something like this. So I would hope that there can be a meeting of the minds and kind of a cooperation, a collaboration to going forward with it.
Yeah, and over the years, we've talked about rail. We've done studies. I've read, you know, online, you know, about how we're just doing another study. Well, I think this is, you know, compared to before, we just dipped our foot in the water before. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a very comprehensive study with a lot of metrics on many different crossings. And so we have really comprehensive data. And the city council is going to talk about it, you know, probably before our next city council meeting, discussing, have a committee of the whole where we just specifically talk about this rail study at that meeting and have a discussion on it and kind of see where, you know, could it come down maybe to a referendum some point, saying, you know, is this important enough to the community, you know, to pay for a solution or go to a bigger solution that's going to cost $1 million or two? Mm-hmm. And I think those discussions need to happen, and the community needs to be involved.
It's hard to imagine anything like that being agreed upon or voted in when we've got the jail right now, and that's hanging on our tax and on people's heads and stuff. So if it's happening, it's probably years down the line. I'm theorizing here. I'm not saying that for exact.
A big solution is years down the line, but I talking to a council person this morning, is this is something we need to, you know, be the council that does something and not just, hey, we just did another study and this is what we kind of figured and we'll deal with it later. You know, it'd be nice to, you know, start a plan, whether it be creating the quiet zones, making that investment, doing something along, you know, getting a kind of a heads up on a train through some source, whether it be signage or apps or something along those lines, and then look and addressed long term down the road when we have to redo the expressway someday.
Between the board and yourself, I would say this, you guys are getting things done. This jail has been talked about for three decades pretty much, and here we are, it's happening. Other things in this town have been going forward and progressing and everything. Yeah. So if anybody can get this done, that group of people right there, I'm thinking that we got good odds.
Yeah, I think we've got a great council, and they work through things, and looking forward to seeing where this goes.
How about the finance and property meeting? How did that go?
So I guess there was a meeting last night. We were trying to get Centralia roof done. Mm. We had gotten bids that exceeded $800,000 to do the roof there, which we decided that we rejected the bids. And we're going to kind of come up with a different plan on what that roof needs, because I think what we put out for bid was more than it needed. Mm. And so we're going to be able to step that back and try to get that the cost.
Wow, wait, it was lower than we expected?
Well, we'd like it to be lower.
Yeah,
so
you'd like it to be
So we're going to rebid that. So that'll be a big thing. But that's a roof that needs it. You know, you shouldn't be at the community theater and having drips coming down on the stage, you know. And I know they've come up with some creative plans to divert the water using a gutter system. And it's like, well, wait a minute here. This is just not acceptable. And go in to vote, and you have to have some cones coning off an area because water's dripped. And but it's a roof that's kind of been pieced together, and you know, when they redid it, and then the YMCA, that project over there, you know, they came up and they kind of marry into that. And I think it's just time that instead of piecing it together, we get one new roof on there, and we should be good for hopefully a couple decades.
Journalistically, I should mention, because I've never brought it up on the air before, I'm an actor. I'm a little biased about the theater.
Really?
I'll tell you about it sometime. I'm a little biased about things over there. But while I love that theater, what I really love is that building and all the combinations of the Y over there, all our friends over there, the AARP,
ADRC.
ADRC, yep. So many of the different groups of people over there. It's really good for everybody to get something like that done.
Yeah, it's a very important. Obviously, roofs are very important, and it's a significant investment, and not when we have, you know, piles of cash laying around. And but it needs to be done. It can't be kicked down the road anymore, and should have been done a while ago. So hopefully the plan will get done here.
How about the Parks and Recs Committee? They met recently as well.
Yeah, I was unfortunately unable to make that meeting, but.
Picked one you, the one you weren't at. The one.
My kid's in driver's ed, so it's like I got to
right
get him in the
comes first. Yes.
It's like, oh my goodness.
Being a dad always comes first.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but I missed that one. But Park and Rec's going well. They're working on the prairie dog exhibit, and they're kind of discussing trying to build that enclosure, which will be a really kind of a neat addition over there. Everyone's fascinated with prairie dogs for some reason.
And, yeah.
And you'll be able to, so they discuss prairie dogs. They also, I think, believe they discussed, you know, they applied for a grant for some new playground equipment. And so those discussions are going on. And
I've been wondering how things have gone for them because of the weird winter we've had. Mm-hmm. We count so much recreation-wise on that snow and what it can do for our winter activities and everything. It's always encouraging to hear that they, especially like all these departments in town here, I notice it very much with the Parks and Recreations Department. They're always trying to come up with something. They're always trying to think of a new angle on something or a new way to not only bring people to the community, but take care of the community and give them things to do. I really admire the work that they do.
Yeah, they've kind of restructured over there in the last year, and so, you know, it's always new people bring new ideas, and it's always a good thing. You know, I think it's good for our leadership, it's good for our departments, and, you know, and so I'm looking forward to the continued process of what they grow that Park and Rec program. I love Park and Rec programming. I grew up in it. I think it's a very, very important asset in the community, especially for the low-cost options that they present and some of the unique options. And the stronger Park and Rec program we have, I think, is better for the community.
It's one of those ways that you not only keep your residents, but you bring new people in, having these kind of things. And speaking of that, I wanted to talk about the dog park and see if there was any updating on that.
So, Taylor's done some great video work over there. I was out there Monday morning. And so, it's I'm excited for it, you know. And I keep saying, you know, and there's some people spouting off online, of course, about, you know, money should be spent elsewhere. But people don't understand that money came from room tax dollars, so it doesn't come out of our taxes. Room tax dollars have to be divided by state statute. Some of it goes to Park and Rec, some goes to economic development. So Park and Rec has been, you know, they have an account for this money that's supposed to be used to improve parks. And so this, when we go to the dog park and we think dog park, this was built by people that stayed in our community and utilized our hotels, motels, and Airbnbs. And they are the ones that have paid for this dog park for us to be able to enjoy and utilize.
I get so kind of tired of the lazy opinion takes. In this day and age where we walk around with these supercomputers and I can look up anything, I want to know who won the World Series in 1975. I can find it right in 2 seconds on my phone. When it comes to these things, all it takes is a tiny bit of digging to find the answer to that complaint you have.
Or a simple phone call. The problem is uninformed people spreading misinformation is, you know, and you're spending time. I don't respond. People might complain that I don't get on Facebook, but I don't, because I'm not going to get caught up in that cycle when people just normally call me or stop by and ask a question. And so, you know, they can spout off all they want. I don't care.
You should have to, I remember my mom telling me when I was a kid that nothing worth having comes easy. And I used to think, like, oh, that used to frustrate me and everything. But the older I get, the more that rings in my head. And like, oh, she really knew what she was saying there. When it comes to information, like, there's so much out there. It shouldn't be that difficult for somebody to do a search, to go to wirapids.org, and while you were talking, able to pull up the information to answer that question. Like, it took me literally 20 seconds to be able to do that. It's not hard. It's it's so much easier to complain than it is to do research, and I get that. But when it comes to, like, do you care? Are you a dog that just wants to bark, or do you have something to say? If you really do want to be heard, if you really do mean what you're saying, do the research, do the homework, then come back to us and let's talk. Let's have an adult conversation.
Participate.
Yeah, participate. Collaborate. Work with people. Nothing has ever been done from shouting or from a Facebook post. Like, that's not how you get work done. One of the cool things about social media that I don't think it's talked about a lot is how in other parts of the world, especially in third world countries, they've been able to bring attention to causes and situations like women's rights and things in the Middle East and these kind of things. And they've done incredible work with that. They didn't just put a Facebook post and then sit back and expect everybody to care about women's rights. They put in work. They actually did some hard work on these things. The idea of just posting something or just putting a comment on there, that's a keyboard
solution.
Yeah. That's the other part of this too. People just barking, but well, how would you fix it?
Oh, I don't know.
Like, well, what are you doing, man? What are you doing here? Then you're just a dog barking. Like, that's all that is. And I don't think that you're asking a lot, especially if you are asking of our officials, hey, solve this. I think that that's understandable. I think that's pretty fair. That's why we vote people into office. But then I don't think it's unfair for people in office to say, okay, well, you got a complaint. Where is your solution? Or at least be honest and say, I don't have a solution, but I find a problem with this.
Yeah, you know, and yeah, it's a struggle.
Gave you a lot there.
I got on a tangent there. But you're right, though, and it's a struggle. And you know, it's about participating and offering solutions. But the problem is there's people out there that just want to spout off and not offer a solution and telling everybody they're doing a bad job. And you're not participating then. You're only contributing to the problem.
Yeah.
And that's happening all too often, especially now.
It does. Give me a chance, though, to mention that when it comes to these things, it comes to these community meetings and everything. We encourage people to attend them. And if you aren't able to attend them, well, you got our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media that record all these, and they are right there for you on the YouTube page. You can research and find
Facebook.
Them all there. It's all there for you.
Facebook Live and
none of this is hidden. Nobody's hiding any of this. I hope they don't ask about the dog park. Like, it's all right there for you. When it comes to the weather I was touching on before, we've had some unseasonable weather around here and everything. Has that affected our construction schedule, like road work schedule? Are people like, oh, it's a little nice out. I'm going to get out there and try to get something done.
I think some of those guys are getting the itch.
Yeah,
but
I bet.
We know that we can't start yet just because. But, you know, Pam was asking me about, you know, it's got to be good on the snowplow budget. The problem is, and it's really not a problem, is if we're not plowing snow, we're doing something else. So So the snowplow budget may have extra money in it, but there's another budget somewhere else. You know, as you can see, and if you noticed in the parks and cemeteries, and there's a lot of tree removal going on. Yeah. So they're working on doing a lot of that. So the money really isn't being saved. It's just coming from a different part of the budget, unfortunately, or just the nature of it.
Shifting these things around, the pie chart, moving this to
and
here.
It's snowing, then they'll hit the snowplow budget.
I did also want to remember or to mention to everybody about the Veterans Honor Walk. Are we still taking applications for that?
Okay. Absolutely.
And we want as many of those as possible. That's such a beautiful thing to have to our community. I'm looking forward to seeing more of those. And honestly, the idea of like 5-10 years down the line and seeing them again and again and again, that's going to be really cool.
Absolutely. It gives our downtown a great perspective. And it's pretty neat. And, you know, we were talking about committee meetings earlier. The Plan Commission did a lot of approvals for the Shopko project. So Tom Richards, the developer out of Arizona, was here and before Plan Commission. And, I'd be excited this year to see what's going to happen over there. And there's going to be definitely some things happening. And
if we had time, I wanted to bring it up. I was curious. I heard a little bit about that. And I know that there's been, it seems like the day a building becomes open, people the next day complain about that building being open.
It's not why the store we wanted.
Like it's a hermit crab, right? And then just move right in there or something.
Exactly.
Is there some hope, or no, I should say hope, is there some things on the coming up for that building? Or?
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a number of tenants, four of them. Yeah, he doesn't have signed leases, so it's not for sure, but they're going to be 10-year long-term leases, so that building will be occupied for quite a while.
Nice.
And I'm sure once we get some signed leases, then hopefully they'll kind of put out there, you know, those businesses. But there's some changes coming. There's some other activity that's going to, is kind of developing for A Street, and we're looking forward to seeing that come into fruition and some activity. But yeah, we'll never have enough retail. We'll never have retail like we did in the past. But if we can have some options here, I think it's a good thing. Other than food and coffee, and people want a place to go shop, and we need some more of that.
I think that as we're wrapping up here and everything with you, Shane, one of the things that I wanted to do if we had time was to just touch on our community as a whole and have a little perspective. I had seen some of the rumblings about the trains, and we've heard this for years about that, other noise here and there and everything, and we're so quick in society these days to tear things down and to want to complain before compliment something. And I do believe in accountability, and I do think that you're an American, you have an opinion, you have a right to say it and all that. I'm a wholeheartedly fan of that. I think that you could also counter, or have both. You can chew gum and walk at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many communities have a minor league, ball team and hockey team, or have the success that they've had with their high school programs. The way that our community, our volunteers, our nonprofits, the success that they have in this area, their school system is so much stronger than most areas that around, including cities near us and right next to us and everything. Our national average is so much better than I think most people would realize. I'm not saying that you can't have your complaints, but just taking a moment to appreciate the area you have. Coming from a different area, coming from a much, much different area, I can tell you there are some things in my kids being born in this city, I'm proud of that. I'm thankful for that. And I don't think I'm the only parent that feels that way. It's not a bad thing to call things accountable and all that, but just having a moment every once in a while to be like, dang it, this is a good town. This is a good area. Yeah, just to appreciate it a little bit as you're going through this day of like complaints. Every once in a while, popping up some good things in your head, because I almost guarantee you put a list of positives and negatives, and that positive list is going to blow away that negative list in this area.
Yeah, I was speaking of Tom Richards, a developer from Arizona, he was very impressed with the community. He was impressed with how nice people are here, because obviously across the country there's different different levels of niceness and lack of niceness, and he was very complimentary of our community. And and it's developers like that come and have these positive reactions in our community are more likely to develop again in another location in our community.
That's a great point.
They buy things and they're looking to create, and if they come to a community and they don't get a good vibe, they're not going to come back.
Right.
Or they're going to go just move on somewhere else. And yeah. So when we have developers that are complementary, I think that's very important for our community.
Shane, we've covered a lot today. If people have follow-up questions, want to talk about more, I know I really put you through the ringer today. I'm sorry.
That's good.
How can people get a hold of you?
Through email, call our office, my office phone number, 715-421-8202. We're always around.
Yeah, and appreciate the time as always. You, the staff over there, keep up the great work. You guys have a great weekend going forward here.
Thanks, James. Great seeing you.
And a big thank you to our friends, of course, Taylor and the gang over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you guys so much. Go to your YouTube page, type in there, Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to that page, and you won't be disappointed.
They are doing some very phenomenal work over there.
Really
They're
are.
Making some great videos and...
I love the work that you guys do over there, honestly.
Good job. Very good.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more Morning Magazine for you right here on WFHR, locally grown radio.
The love for an animal is very special. They are your secret keeper, your sock finder, and your movie night watcher. Life simply wouldn't be the same without them. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Love, Inc. in Wisconsin Rapids and the Southwood County Humane Society. Love, Inc., helping churches help people through Christ.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Ladies and gentlemen, children at heart and of all ages,
start your day laughing with Mornings on WFHR.
7 to 10, Monday through Friday, join your host James and the best co-hosts in radio.
Keep up to date on local news, sports, and weather.
Along with Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club, and Friday's Culver's Star of the Day.
Join the conversation weekdays 7 to 10 for Mornings on WFHR. We're a serious comedy to start your day.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with a high of 40. Winds out of the northwest, 15 to 20 miles per hour. Lows around 21. Tonight, cloudy. Cloudy skies expected again. Tomorrow, high temperatures reach up to 25. Sunny skies Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 36.
Good morning, and welcome back to The Morning Magazine. It's time for part two.
Welcome, everybody, to Morning Magazine Part 2 for this February 15th, 2023. Your host, James, here, and I'm joined right now by our good friend, Phil Brown, from the Southwood County Historical Corporation. Good morning, Phil.
Well, good morning, James, and welcome, greetings from the Southwood County Historical Museum in Wisconsin Rapids.
Phil, you know how much I love history. I love local history. I was looking forward to this interview since this weekend when Pam sent me the list and showed me who was going to be in this week. There's a lot I want to talk about there, tours, volunteering, and a lot of those kind of things. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to start off with an exhibit that you're featuring over there, the Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. exhibit.
Oh, absolutely. That is huge. February is Black History Month, and we have brought in a traveling exhibit from the Minneapolis area.
And, of course, James, as I always say, being born and raised in St. Paul, we always refer to Minneapolis as one of those western suburbs of St. Paul.
Yes.
But that's another story. But anyway, the exhibit opened on February 5th, and we go to the 26th of February. And it is an absolutely wonderful exhibit on the life and times of Martin Luther King. It doesn't really get into too much politics or anything like that, but it really shows or really depicts his life. And it's really kind of sad, but it one of the big things, he died when he was 39.
Yeah.
Assassinated. 39. And how much he did within that period of time is phenomenal. So our exhibit really goes through that.
I've seen people comment on this exhibit from other cities that have seen it and talk about it. And one of the things that I see the common theme is, oh, I didn't know this about him, or I didn't know that about him.
And
I think that that's pretty fascinating when you think of one of the bigger figures in any of our lifetimes. And there's still things that people can learn about him and celebrate the man's legacy just by taking in a museum, which is always fun.
Yeah, and it was set up by a young man from Vesper, believe it or not,
wow.
Dennis Bailing, and he's from the Vesper area, and he works for a company called Conceive, Believe, Achieve out of Minneapolis. And the exhibit actually was shown in Washington, D.C. as well, so it's a very informative exhibit. And one nice thing about it, James, is it helps us promote or show off our new renovations at the Historical Museum on 3rd Street. And 2022 was a major year for us, and we completely renovated our first floor area. It's absolutely phenomenal. That beautiful home was built in 1907 by Isaac and Charlotte Witter, a very prominent family in Wisconsin Rapids. And we have brought it back to its former glory.
Wow.
It's absolutely spectacular. And so we're open now Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and Sundays from 1 to 4. So it's a great opportunity. And you mentioned volunteers.
Yes.
We're always looking for volunteers that are interested in local history. We give a good review of our history and what you would expect from some of our visitors. And it's a fun way to get involved in our community and local history.
Yeah. Phil, I want to just go back for this. I got to tell the audience something. In my notes here, Phil and I almost had the same notes. I wanted to go to the renovation next, too. That was great. That was awesome. When it comes to that, let's just rewind for a second. The Martin Luther King exhibit. What are some of the things that people will see there? Well, I don't want to give away the whole story, but are there different pieces of the exhibit?
Well, it's... we have probably a dozen 30-foot photographic displays of the life of Martin Luther King.
Mm.
And it goes through some of his struggles, but it also highlights his accomplishments for civil rights and justice for all. It's
cool.
Amazing.
Yeah,
it's absolutely amazing what he went through in the late 1950s and through the 60s. He was shot 1968 in Memphis, Tennessee. But the display is absolutely spectacular.
It's proud American history, and it's also great for, I think, especially younger people in 2023 to have some perspective,
to have
a bit of an idea of, then not to make light of anything that's going on nowadays, but there's a big difference of what's like now and what it was like 40 years ago.
He was a trendsetter.
Yes.
And they really, along with Martin Luther King and a number of Jesse Jackson and others, were very involved in civil rights for blacks. It's tremendous.
When it comes to the renovation process, I know that wasn't just an overnight kind of thing. that had to take a lot of work. And it's normal. I've worked in construction, long before I was in radio, and home improvement work was some of the last work I did. And some of the older houses we'd work on really had to take our time just planning this thing out. And how is the foundation here? How's that? How did it go there with all of that factor? Like at a historical museum, I imagine you got to be even more careful with that stuff.
Oh boy, it was really something, especially a prominent home like the Witter's home. But fortunately, Debbie Redenzel Barrett, who was born and raised in Wisconsin Rapids, graduated from Lincoln High School in 1970, is a world-renowned decorative person. So she came in and envisioned what our building, what our first floor would look like if the Witters were still there.
Huh.
And Rick Bender, an attorney here in town and also a board member for Southwood County Historical Society, has taken on, had finished the Flatiron Building downtown, that beautiful triangle building, and also his office on 2nd Street. And where he has brought it back to its former glory. So with Rick's assistant and Debbie's insight, it was just an amazing process. 2022 was an interest, you know, basically from January, we opened up to the public for our Christmas tree walk in time on
early
December.
That. Yeah.
So that's what was our ultimate goal. And we met that goal. And I can't tell you how much our contractors really rallied to the cause, put us at the top of their list as a nonprofit. The donations came in to help cover the costs of it. Lori Brost, our administrator, was able to oversee a lot of the moving parts. It was a tremendous project. And we came on time and on budget.
That's so rare.
That's so rare.
It's worth saying.
Oh, I
it's
know,
very
especially with all the costs of everything.
Yeah.
All the contractors are so busy, but they really took an interest in our project. And we really are quite proud of the...
With our new building here, we of course had this all happen during the pandemic and such, and we had Altman Construction, and a shout out to Altman, great people, great workers, did an amazing job with this building and do amazing job in this town, and they're efficient, they're on time, and even with all of that, oh, we're missing this one piece that's stuck in, you know, Peru, and we can't get it here or something like that. It's just very impressive to hear how the I don't want to say fast, but on time everything went there. A big shout out to everybody that participated in that.
And all local contractors, some from Stevens Point, but that's local.
Yeah.
But one thing, James, after the Martin Luther King exhibit, we're bringing in a wonderful program during the month of March, and it has to do with Great Lakes and small streams. And it's promoted by the Wisconsin Historical Society, and it's how Wisconsin's shape is contributed to water. We have Lake Michigan, we have Lake Superior, we have the St. Croix River, we have the Mississippi River, and the hardest working river in the world is the Wisconsin River. We have 40, 50, 60, I can't remember the number, of dams up and down the Wisconsin River from its headwaters in northern Wisconsin. And Lake Vieux d'Isere, all the way to the Mississippi. We have hundreds. We have a lot of hardworking dams that supplied the power to our communities and also our industries along the river. First, the timber industry in the mid-1800s, and eventually the paper industry after that. So now with our beautiful river and recreational opportunities, fishing opportunities, the whole works. And when you really look at the rivers and streams and the lakes, it is an absolutely beautiful state. And it's become a playground for our friends from Minnesota, from Illinois, and from all over the world.
Yeah,
and it has a lot to do with our water resources. So the Wisconsin Historical Society put together a great exhibit, and we will have that from March 5th through March 26th.
Excellent. Again, you know, bringing history to life like you guys do over there all the time. This is something that is, I think, one of those subjects that we think about and we don't really get the chance to think too deeply about or go down a rabbit hole on. Like, man, we have a lot of great rivers around here, a lot of good lakes, and we pull a lot from them, or we've had a lot of history with them, but then we don't really, maybe we don't have the resources, or we're not able to, you know, have the time to go down that rabbit hole with that. this project coming here, this tour, it's going to be great to be able to, like, not just inform people about that stuff, but again, that perspective we get from looking back and appreciating what we have right now.
Yeah, that's a great point, James, because it would take a lot of effort for us on a local basis to bring up the information from Martin Luther King, to bring up the information and present it on our waterways of Wisconsin. And during the month of, April through May, we're also focusing in on our German migration into central Wisconsin.
Ooh.
And of course, we had lots of Norwegians and Swedes and Polish. Yeah. And this focuses in on the German population, which was extremely important to our growth of Wisconsin. As a matter of fact, one piece of trivia, if you don't mind, is most people are familiar with the Manuel Lutheran Church up on 8th Street across from Howe Elementary School. Well, originally, that was the German Lutheran Church.
Huh.
And most of our German came in from Germany and settled in that area.
Wow.
And their community evolves around the churches. So the German Lutheran Church catered to most of the people in that neighborhood up by Howe School. Well, shortly after World War I, they changed the name from the German Lutheran Church to Emmanuel Lutheran Church.
Oh, wow.
So a little piece of trivia.
Oh, I love that. Oh, that's so interesting. Oh.
Yeah. And speaking of that, too, a lot of our French settlers settled up around SS Peter and Paul. That's the oldest church in town. Was founded in 1857.
Wow.
So even before the city of Wisconsin Rapids became a city, our French French Canadians came in for the timber and lumber industry, and that was their neighborhood up First Street, up by SS Peter and Paul.
Wow.
And St. Lawrence Church, that's was our Polish neighborhood. So good Catholic Polish people started their church, and the neighborhood around St. Lawrence Church was developed by our Polish population. So we're the land of opportunity for many, many nationalities. We're proud of that.
The Midwest in itself, you know, especially you look at Chicago and the import that city that is with people of pretty much growing up there, every creed under the sun. Like I met them, I knew them, I was familiar with their culture and everything. Like we pretty much had the United Nations in that state in that city.
That's a good way to put it.
Wisconsin very similar with that with their opened arms of immigrants over the lifetime of Wisconsin's statehood. In fact, even going before it was a state. This is one thing that I always find really interesting about history, like almost things certain catching up to stuff. What you mentioned there was very interesting. I'm not going to get this exact, but how we basically had a mail, like a Pony Express, like a mail system before our government was really completely in place in this country. That's awesome. That's so interesting to think of. The way that like certain things you would think would have come first, but no, this actually was going on long before this even was established. It's kind of cool to look at how the layout of that and the timeline of that. And you get a lot of it at our historical museum that is right here in town. You guys, we'll go over your hours again and everything, but it's so nice to have a resource like this and we don't have to send people like 2 hours away, you know, or something. It's right here in town for you.
Very good point. And I always consider the central Wisconsin area, which includes Marathon County, Portage County, and Wood County. And we have a wonderful historical society in Wood County here in Wisconsin Rapids, Pittsville, and Marshfield.
Yeah.
And also a fine historical museum up in Wausau and in the Stevens Point Plover area as well. So not only are we able to learn about our local history in Wisconsin Rapids, but we can learn more about our history of central Wisconsin, which is really a big deal.
Do you and the other directors, you guys coordinate? Do you guys talk at all as far as the other museums and everything?
That's a goal of ours.
Good.
We know each other personally, but I think we have to do a little bit more exchanging of ideas. Because one thing I learned a long time ago from the Wisconsin Historical Society, that if your artifacts are not online, they don't exist. We may have some wonderful history, or we do. We do have some wonderful history up in our attic at the Southwood County Historical Museum. But how many people have access to our attic?
Not many.
Fortunately, I'm one of them. But anyway, so what we're doing and working, hopefully working with other historical society, is learning how to get more of our information online. One thing that's unfortunate, that a lot of us baby boomers are getting older, I hate to admit, and not all of us are as technically savvy as we could be. So we're looking to the next generation to help us get things online. And fortunately at the museum, we have Allison Bruner as one of our curators, along with Lori Brost, our administrator. And we would like to get more volunteers in that 20-something range.
Yeah.
That could probably help us get more and more online.
So. I want to talk more about that before we wrap up about volunteers and keeping things going over there. I find it very encouraging to hear that, Phil, about you and other museums wanting to talk, or at least, or you even just yourself having that thought. When I talk with, I just had Terry John, CEO of United Way, and Terry and I have talked about this. Sheriff Becker and I have talked about this. When it used to, the way it used to be for nonprofits or even like police departments and everything, it was kind of like, well, we got to make the big bust, or for a nonprofit, we got to get that mighty dollar. And this community, people are working together. Sheriff Becker and other police departments share information, so we are a safer community, a safer state because of it. The nonprofits that work together, and oh, you're going to cover this, we're going to cover that, so everybody benefits. And it's not a surprise to me that our area did a little bit better during the pandemic in these last 4 or 5 years than a lot of areas have. I don't think that's a coincidence. The idea of you guys working together makes us stronger, keeps our history alive longer. It's just a real positive thing.
I couldn't say that better, James. That is really nice. And that's what a real plus of our local community is this radio station that really brings us together to talk about what we are doing on a daily basis. So that was a very, very, very good point. So thank you for mentioning that.
We're going to take a really quick minute break. We'll come back and we'll have some more fun with our good friend Phil Brown from the Southwood County Historical Museum right here on Morning Magazine at WFHR.
What's your favorite thing about a good movie? What makes the perfect song? And what's it about the first lines of a book that will snatch our attention? If these questions intrigued your artsy interest, you don't want to miss Director's Cut on WFHR every Sunday night from 8 to 9. Your WFHR program director, James, and head of production, Seth, will be diving into the local arts and entertainment, hot topic movies, hidden gems, and more. Audience feedback and requests are encouraged for this fun and open conversation about art in all its forms. It's artists supporting artists in their own words.
It makes me smile, and you have a piano, but if you play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh, my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast this afternoon with highs around 40. Northwesterly winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight, lows level off around 21. High temperatures reach up to 25. Tomorrow, cloudy skies. Bright sunshine Friday with daytime highs approaching 26. 40 Saturday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 37.
Welcome back to the Morning Magazine here at WFHR, locally grown radio, 10:53 on the clock, and we're going to take you right to the top of the hour with Phil Brown from the Southwood County Historical Museum. Phil, thank you again for joining us. We were talking in the break there about a really big anniversary coming up for the museum.
Oh, we're so excited. One way that we can really show off our renovation, not only with our Christmas tree walk in December, but also the traveling exhibits during February, March, April, and into May, Memorial Day weekend marks the 50th anniversary of our Wow. historical museum open to the public.
That's great.
Many of our listeners will remember the T.B. Scott Library that was at that beautiful building from 1948 to 1970. Wow. 1970, McMillan Memorial Library opened up, and we took over the building. The Southwood County Historical Society took over the building, and it took a couple of years, but we converted the old library into a historical museum, and we opened up to the public 50 years ago.
Wow.
So it's absolutely wonderful. So we will have a, after our traveling exhibits, we will also have traveling exhibits throughout the year, but we will be marking the 50th anniversary with lots of history of our own organization.
Cool.
What a novel idea.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. especially because you bring that up, and again, big congratulations on 50 years. That's
Thank you.
That's impressive. That's wonderful. But it does immediately, the first thing that pops in my head is, well, the origin story of that, of the building, of the facility. I'm sorry, the committee, the group that to do this, the idea of a group of rapid citizens getting together and saying, our history is important. We need to preserve this.
Yeah.
That's interesting in itself.
Well, the interesting, you know, the early years of historicals of our historical society had to do with a group of individuals that were born and raised in the 1870s, 1880s, Whoa. 1890s.
Wow.
So we had a group of pioneer settlers in the area that got together on a regular basis back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. Well, we've captured a lot of their stories of what life was like during the timber-lumber era and the beginning of our paper era. So they used to meet on a regular basis.
Wow.
Well, as those kids got older, we decided to form a historical society in 1955. And we have been collecting and giving out local history ever since. When we acquired the building in 1970, that was really the crowning jewel of our historical society, because now we had a facility where we could share that with other citizens of Wisconsin Rapids and beyond.
It's fascinating to think that they thought that early on, that they wanted to preserve it that early on, and it's long before so much other history has happened that is noteworthy and everything in this community. They didn't know all that was coming.
Yeah.
So it's really like beneficial that they did, because having all that previous history to go along with the current, you know, semi-current, if you will, as far as time goes, you know, it's pretty cool to like have all of this together. Not every community has a kind of like timeline like ours does in this area.
Yeah, and our timeline goes well into the mid-1800s, which is very interesting. Rich history here on the Wisconsin River.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we encourage people, of course, to go to the museum, to check out history, to learn more about all the great things going on over there. And when we encourage people to do that, that means not just coming by as a resident and, you know, taking a tour or anything like that, but volunteering. And we Absolutely. Greatly appreciate any volunteers that help us keep history alive and this great history of ours in this area keeping going.
Yeah, there's no better way to learn about our local history than to get involved in our local historical society. And we're always looking for people to join us, be a greeter, a docent, if you will. And once again, it's not a tremendous commitment because we're open Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Sundays from 1 to 4 in the afternoon. So a 3-hour commitment, not too bad.
Not bad at all.
And even being open in the wintertime, we're getting some nice traffic coming through. Good. People looking for something to do on a nice afternoon. And we're really glad that they come into our museum.
We have at least, you know, usually once a month, we have the gentleman from the Historic Point Boss join us, Mike Hittner and Tom and the gang over there. And we talk about it with them a lot, too, with any of these places. We need younger blood to keep these things alive and to keep them going. And the importance of them, you can't go forward if you don't know what's behind you. You know, you got it. You know your history, and you're that much more prepared for whatever's coming next.
Well said.
And it's also really cool. Like, it's just interesting. I find the more you can learn about your neck of the woods, the more pride you take in it, the more pride you have in your own self and your own self-worth. And there's nothing wrong with that. That goes a long ways. You mentioned a couple of names, and I wanted to make sure to wrap up with just giving a shout out to the board of directors. Great people over there, great work that they're doing and helping us keep history alive over there. I don't think we get a chance to mention them nearly enough. And a big shout out to all of them, and thank you
to
them.
Good point. Thank you for mentioning that, because we're really blessed with a wonderful board of directors and staff.
Yes, yeah, and the staff too. Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to make sure to mention them. When it comes to maybe if